Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It is episode 45 of Stands and Fits, presented by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University. What's up, dude?
How's it going?
It's going good.
Good time to be a Cyclone after that big old weekend of winning.
It is a good time to be a Cyclone. 3-0, I guess you could even say 5-0 weekend. Two women's basketball wins, a wrestling win. Football win, a men's basketball win.
And I think the cross country teams did really well at regionals too.
I think they won. Yeah. Both of them won the region, if I remember correctly. I think even the individuals were Iowa Staters.
You can make the case where it was the best all around weekend of Iowa State athletics ever, honestly.
I can't argue it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know every weekend of Iowa State athletics, but
the matchups might be a little bit better for other weekends at playing, more high profile teams. But on the other hand, I mean, how often do you go 8-0 or whatever it was across that many sports?
Exactly. Did the volleyball team win?
I don't know.
This is what we need to know. This is what you're here for.
Because I'm the Iowa State volleyball correspondent here.
Yeah, basically.
Well, now I want to look it up.
I'm pretty sure Jess Shaven was the Big 12 player of the week, so I wouldn't be surprised if they did win.
Looking it up right now. Iowa State volleyball. On their website.
If they did, we're officially going to deem it the greatest weekend in the history of Iowa State athletics.
I'm pretty sure that they did.
There we go. It is the greatest weekend in the history of Iowa State athletics. It has been officially declared.
Yep. All right.
The only way that it can be topped is if they win Maui next week, beat Kansas State to go to the Big 12 championship game. I think that's the only way that it could ever be topped.
Dude, that would involve beating Duke, which would be quite simply amazing.
Yeah, that would be, it would be unforeseen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to pick it.
No.
Probably not even going to pick them to beat Gonzaga if they get in that position.
Okay, officially, Iowa State volleyball beat West Virginia 3-1.
There we go. Like I said, we can officially declare it the greatest weekend in the history of Iowa State athletics.
My internet finally caught up. So, yes, it's official now.
It is now.
Officially official.
Officially official. Officially.
Yep.
Let's talk about Iowa State and Baylor. Did you go to the game?
Did not go to the game.
So, you had a great view from television.
Yep.
Okay, no, this is where we're going to go with this. It has been Fitzy versus Baylor for the last 2 days on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, and I don't really want to give any of their people.
No, we're not going to give any. We're not going to give any names. But yeah, you have been.
I've been John with a few Baylor fans.
You even got into it with Adam Gray.
I did. Well, that was a little bit different. That was about the fight itself. But and I think Adam sometimes, I know he likes to stir the pot on a few things. I don't know if he...
Didn't he say he was trying to play devil's advocate?
Well, I called him out and I said that he's trying to play devil's advocate. And I don't know. He might actually be holding that fact to where he believes what he said, but I don't know. I still think as an Iowa State fan and as an impartial fan too, I think looking at that, it's just tough.
Whoa.
What was that?
I don't know what that was, but it really hit me hard in the ears. Yeah. I didn't like that.
That kind of hurt.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that.
Are we still recording?
Yeah, we're good. That was I don't even know if anybody that was listening can actually hear that.
It was like a big pop sound and then like followed by like three little like water drops or something like that.
Got a Slack notification. That's what it was.
Oh, okay.
Stinking Rob Gray.
Come on.
Sending us messages on the Slack. But yeah, you have been.
Yeah, I've been active.
On Twitter the last couple of days.
I don't get in that many Twitter arguments. Like compared to what I used to nowadays, but yeah, I was very active this weekend.
Just got asked to be on the radio at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning on Sirius XM.
Oh, nice. Is this the same one that you were on before?
No, this one is with Ari Temkin and Dave Archer, former Cyclone Dave Archer.
Nice. And is that ESPN affiliate then or something else?
No, that's the Big 12 station.
Ah, nice.
Don't know how I feel about being on the air at 7 o'clock in the morning, but
so you probably have to at least set your alarm for 6:50.
No, I'll probably. I think he said from 7 to 10. So I'm.
You're not at 7.
No, hopefully I can get myself into later. Maybe the 8 or 9 o'clock hours. I'm definitely not going to be awake to be on the air at 7.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, what were your overarching opinions of the of
okay,
look, I don't even know what this would. We're going to call it
get
fight.
That the rule is that David Montgomery has to be suspended for the next half, and technically, again, it was subject to review, which was kind of the point that I was joking about. was that, oh, you know, since the Big 12 is going to be the institution that reviews it, and Iowa State's playing Texas next week, and both teams have an interest in, you know, playing for the championship game in a couple weeks from now, there's no way that they would ever, like, rule in favor of Iowa State getting David Montgomery back in the first half.
But the Baylor fans say that there's a conspiracy, a Big 12 conspiracy in favor of Iowa State.
Which is absolutely insane, because if you have any kind of knowledge about what Iowa State goes against the officials every year, then that's definitely not the case.
Yeah, when I saw someone saying that there was a pro-Iowa State conspiracy, I was like, man, we've hit peak Big 12 paranoia, yeah, when everyone is saying that there's a pro-Iowa State conspiracy.
And that's, in a way, that's kind of the sign that the program has officially made it, is that now that, like, the breaks are going Iowa State's way, even though that wasn't really that big of a deal. Like, because I think the Baylor fans were mad about their quarterback getting ejected after the second personal foul.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
Or the second unsportsmanlike.
I think that there was other, I mean, I don't know if they were saying there was holding or
maybe.
It seems like every team that Iowa State plays says that the officials are terrible.
I will say that if Iowa State,
there's only like six penalties in the entire game.
If the same thing had happened to Brock Purdy, where he had gotten ejected for a second unsportsmanlike in that exact same situation, I would be mad too, but it is technically the rules. That's how it is.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what...
And I wouldn't say it's a conspiracy. I would just say that, oh, that sucks. That's the rules.
Well, and also he is going to get to play in the next game. So it's not like...
Yeah. It's not like it's going to hurt them in their next game at all.
Right. It was just kind of ridiculous in the moment where you're like, wait, what's happening?
And, you know, I did see some Baylor fans saying that, oh, we were coming back at that point, and that kind of like halted everything. But yeah, you were also down by what, two touchdowns when he got ejected too?
Yeah, so, two touchdowns with how much time left? Not that much.
It was
time
in the fourth quarter at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know.
No,
probably
they weren't coming back, dude.
But probably not. No. Yeah. And, I don't know. It's just goofy. It's all just goofy.
The whole situation is, yeah.
Yeah, everything that came out of that whole entire game was goofy.
And look, I don't think that my argument was that since David had gotten slammed into the Gatorade cart, and then like a few plays later he had been the first one to get punched at, that's kind of a natural human way to react to things. And of course you kind of have to defend yourself at that point.
Right.
And I get that he could have not punched, and that, like, then we wouldn't even talk about this. But at the same time,
we probably would, but it just would be different.
Yeah. Like, he wouldn't be involved in the whole getting ejected part of it.
Yeah.
But basically, I don't really blame him for throwing a punch back. And if you look at all the stuff that led up to it, as a human, I know what the rules are, but as a human, you kind of can't blame him.
Like I said on Football and Random Things, there was a Baylor fan that I saw on Twitter where it's like he had a moment of almost clarity where he tweeted out, this is 4 years in a row we've been in a brawl. He's like, either our guys need to get it together or all the other teams in the league are doing something to get inside of our players' heads. And I was like,
so there's one common theme.
So close.
Here.
Yeah. So close. So close to finding the thread that, you mm-hmm. know, that really ties this entire thing together. And you just, and then you let it come untied again.
Yeah. And so then the guy I was arguing with yesterday, he was trying to make the case that, oh, this current Baylor team doesn't deserve all the flack they're getting just because of what happened at the university a few years ago, obviously, with all the allegations and whatnot. But at the same time, if you're only a couple years removed from something like that, you basically have to be angels out there. Like, if you do anything wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
So
it's literally only been 2 years. So, like, if you're not perfect, then of course people are going to bring up what happened 2 years ago.
Yeah. But, and what was happening at that school is one of, like, the grossest things that's ever happened in the history of college athletics.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's where I, you know, Baylor fans are trying to play like this victim card.
There's no
right. And I'm like,
feasible scenario where they should be playing the victim card.
Exactly. We're not far enough removed from this for you guys to be like, oh, you guys are just picking on us at this point. It's like, no.
Maybe if we get a decade or two out, then maybe if we're still calling it that way at that point, you can start playing the victim card. But right now, no way.
There's still too many people out there that feel like Baylor shouldn't even be in the league anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you guys have not done anything yet to change any sort of public perception of your program.
That's the exact thing. Like, they have a lot of their administration hasn't owned up to what they did, and they have not gotten,
despite the fact that they fired everyone. It's like,
yeah. And like, they haven't gotten nearly the punishment that I feel like, and a lot of people feel like they should have gotten.
Yeah.
So you know, you can say you're victims, but at the same time, I think things could have been way worse and you shouldn't feel that way.
Yeah, so. That's where my thing was with that guy. I was like, this dude for some reason does not understand why people are coming at him in this way.
And the funny thing is he was like saying,
your program's indefensible 100%. On some level.
And he was saying that, oh yeah, I have all these Iowa State fans in my mentions calling our current team rapists and stuff like that. And I literally went through all of his tweets. And there were a few people that said stuff like that, but was a Kentucky fan.
Yeah.
One was a Utah fan. And I didn't see anyone that I knew from Iowa State Twitter saying
I had that one thing where I said, it seems as though he's upset that people are saying Baylor has or has had. And I wasn't saying that it still has rapists on his team. I was like, it's undeniable that they did at one point.
And he seemed so off put by people calling the Baylor team thugs. And I kind of understand that. But at the same time, again, the point I made where you have to be literal angels on the field. Otherwise, people are going to remember what happened 2 years ago.
Right.
It's too easy to make that connection.
It hasn't been long enough yet for people to forget. There hasn't been no public perception change.
No.
At the University of Baylor.
And especially when your coach, like, Rule after the game, he's like taking like no credit for, you know, like Baylor's side of things.
He did take a little bit more during his press conference. I don't know if that was today or yesterday, but even then still he liked to deflect a little bit.
Your tweet after that conference, and you said like, oh, Iowa State's the team that hasn't actually won any games.
Oh, yeah,
all these other teams have just
they remain the team with the most wins while actually not winning any games.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Every team just beats themselves. Yep. It's kind of funny how that happens. Whenever someone plays Iowa State, they just happen to beat themselves.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like Iowa State's one of the only teams in the league that plays defense or something like that.
Really makes you think.
Yeah.
It really makes you think. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what more can be said about the Baylor game. At this point, it happens.
A win's
a win. We're all going to remember it, and it's just we're going to look back and it's going to be like, remember that time when Iowa State and Baylor got into a fight? And you know that when it comes up next year, it'll be like the main story going into the game. It's like, these teams don't like each other. And
I really hope that Kanae Nwangwu, Sheldon Crony, and Johnny Lang all play so great that like the loss of David Montgomery in that first half against Texas isn't even like thought of as a negative.
Like Iowa State just comes out and runs for like 200 yards on Texas's defense in the
first
half.
I would love that, because then absolutely no one would care about what happened in the Baylor game.
Exactly. No one should care anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to end up being that big of a deal in the long run. All right, let's look ahead to this game against Texas. It's an interesting game because it's one where I think you can look at it from a lot of different angles and feel like if you want to look at it from one angle, it's like, man, I don't know how Iowa State can win. If you want to look at it from another, it's like, man, Iowa State's going to win this one by 20.
Yeah.
And it just depends on like how you want to look at the game. Mm-hmm. To like walk away from it and be like, this is how I feel the game will go.
The interesting thing is when you think Texas football, you like, especially from last year, you think, oh, the three good defenses in the league last year were TCU, Iowa State, and Texas. This year, Texas's defense hasn't been near as good.
No. And especially the last 2 weeks.
And I'm pretty positive. I looked it up on CFBAnalytics.com, and they're between, I think, Texas Tech and Kansas in the conference for adjusted defense efficiency. So their defense isn't that good. And obviously their offense, I would say, is much better than last year, especially with Sam Ellinger running the show. But I don't think they're near as good as Oklahoma or West Virginia on offense.
No.
And Iowa State, you know, at least handled both of those teams all right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think Iowa State can win this game. I really do. I haven't decided yet if I'm going to pick them, but I do think it's going to go right down to the last possessions.
Mm. I would be shocked if it was higher than a touchdown margin either direction.
I have a feeling it will be nerve-wracking. Mm. That's where I'm kind of landing. It's that everyone will collectively be pissing their pants.
Do you see Texas trying to run the ball a lot on Iowa State's defense? Or do you see them doing the whole pick them apart, kind of like Baylor was trying to do, where they do the short passes?
The thing I will say is that, as you know, Jeff Woody talks about how Iowa State plays the death by a thousand paper cuts defense.
Yep.
And we haven't seen a team yet that's willing to play that style of offense and just play right into it yet.
Yeah.
Baylor didn't want to do it, and it ended up costing them. I mean, they did for portions of the, I mean, get part of the way down the field, but then once the field is so much more
shrunk,
compacted,
yeah,
then all of a sudden it doesn't work anymore, you know? So, yeah, I mean, I think they'll probably try and do a combination of the two. You think back to that game between Iowa State and Texas last year. It's not like Texas, you know, lit up the scoreboard or anything like that. What was it? 20-6 or something?
Well, I know it was a 10-point game.
Okay, so 16-6, I think, is what the final score was.
Anyway.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah, something along those lines.
And I think at least one of the Texas touchdowns was after one of Jacob Park's meltdown interceptions.
Like that?
Yeah. I mean, that game was, I don't even think you can take anything about that game into account.
Like the two things I remember about that game is obviously Park not doing very well at all, to say the least.
The bugle clone.
Yeah. And then also Michael Dixon, their old punter, he had an amazing game. Like
that dude might be the best player in the NFL now.
Honestly, he might be. He's such a game changer. And he kept Iowa State in such bad field position that entire game.
Yeah. It just kept Texas right in between the they were getting the ball with a good chance to score every single time they touched it.
But exactly. So when you think about Iowa State had to make all those mistakes and Texas had such a great field position compared to Iowa State all day, and they only won by 10 points last year, then it makes you really think that they could swing back in Iowa State's favor this year.
I think it's going to be a good game, though. I mean, it's not going to be 16-6. Mm-hmm. I will say that. I think Iowa State's going to be able to move the ball.
Yeah, I think it'll get up near about 30.
It'll be somewhere in the 30s. Yeah. 30-something to 30-something, I think, will probably be the final score. Was Dicker their kicker last year?
I don't think so. I think
I was going to say, because Dixon and Dicker would have made for an interesting special teams combination.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. If it wasn't against the NCAA rules, obviously that would have been a great t-shirt.
Yeah, Dixon and Dicker.
Yeah.
By the way, everyone can buy a Horns Down t-shirt on CycloneFanatic.com.
There you go. Team Closet, right?
Team Closet. Well, yeah, you should be able to find the link right there.
Oh, yeah.
There on the site. But get your Horns Down tee for Saturday night's game. We'll also be doing a game watch at Whiskey River in Ankeny.
Is it going to be indoors?
I would assume so.
I mean, because obviously,
I hope so.
There was the Oklahoma game last year I was at, and it was fun as hell. But it was the on the roof upstairs.
All I'll say is Iowa State's undefeated when Cyclone Fanatic has rooftop game watches.
You're very true. That's very true.
Well, I mean, at least that I know of, I can't think of another time where we had one of those.
And that was the biggest game last year, technically.
That was when I remember I showed up at Whiskey River and just hoping that it would still be competitive at halftime, so everyone would still be there.
Yeah. Yep. And when Oklahoma scored two quick TDs in the beginning, I was like, oh, here we go.
Yeah. Yeah. That was.
And then, of course, they came back.
Right. Came back and won the game, which was crazy. But no, Whiskey River, Saturday night. I suggest if you want to get a table, you get there during the 2:30 games. I don't know what the 2:30 games are this week, but.
I don't know. Maybe Iowa will play then. I don't follow them at all, but.
Who do they play? Illinois this week?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I think on the road at Illinois. If I remember correctly,
I saw the.
Are you going to come to the game watch?
I don't know yet. Don't know what I'm doing.
Okay.
We'll see.
Right now, it looks like I might be the only person there. So,
really?
Yeah.
Not even like Casey or Jackie or anyone?
I don't know about Casey. I haven't asked her.
Okay.
Because I don't know about Jackie either. Usually she'll come if we ask her to.
All right. I'll have to.
Rob today and he said probably not. So
I'll have to coax my wife into it. I might be able to do it as long as it's inside.
Yeah. If anybody. Anybody who comes out will get to. They can have a selfie with me and Fitzy. I know that'll be a very enticing reason to come to the game.
Yeah, that alone. You don't even need to come to the game. You just need to come get the selfie.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a good game. Let's talk about basketball. Kick Missouri's ass on Friday night.
Yeah.
Do you think that Missouri is just bad, or was that a representation of how good Iowa State can be? Because I thought they played really bad. I didn't think they played very well last night against Texas Southern.
I think Missouri's bad.
Yeah. But I think Iowa State is better. Iowa State's still good, but I think Missouri is just not very good.
It's very easy to say that at this point you can tell Iowa State's ceiling is much, much better than it was last year.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't think you can draw too many conclusions, even with the good performance against Missouri.
Right now, the thing that I like about them is that they play their asses off every possession.
Yep.
Doesn't matter if they're on offense or defense. They are just out there hustling.
And the nice thing is, too, they can do that because they're going to – even if they don't have that much depth in their current state with all the injuries and whatnot, they are going to be super deep once the roster's back to full strength.
Yeah, sometime in December.
Yeah.
But like I said, they play their asses off and they're athletic as hell and they're long.
Yeah.
When they get in that press, they're giving Texas Southern all kinds of problems. They give Missouri all kinds of problems. Mm. They, if they stick with that all year, where it's kind of that, you know, three-quarter court, half-court trap, mm-hmm. and they're just like trying to speed teams up, mm-hmm. they're going to have some success with that just because of how long everybody is. But I like this team. I like this group of guys. Mm-hmm. They need Lindell back, obviously. They need Cam back. And once they get those guys, I feel like this roster could do a lot of damage in the Big 12.
Yeah. It was good to see Talen Horton-Tucker have a good game.
Yeah. Finally made some shots.
Yep. He had gotten some good looks against both Alabama State and Missouri, but they didn't really fall.
No. Couldn't get anything to fall.
Yeah, he's more in his rhythm. And I think he's kind of the guy who he needs to have the ball in his hands every now and then just like to get in the groove of things. Mm-hmm. But then once he saw a couple go in, then he can make anything.
Yeah, he's that guy that you can see where he'll hit like three in a row and he'll just get really hot for like a 3-minute stretch, mm-hmm. and then he'll miss three in a row. And yeah. then it's like, okay, slow down a second. And then you'll get it back and you'll hit three in a row. Yeah. And it's just like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like feast or famine.
The thing is, to this point, I am completely fine with basically every shot he's taken, though.
Oh, yeah. No, he's not forcing anything.
No.
You know, it's just like...
He's playing within the offense, for sure.
Right. Yeah. You can just see where he's kind of streaky, I think. And, I mean, that's perfectly fine as long as you make the majority of them. I don't care.
Yep.
You know? And he's... I think that he's going to be obviously a really good player, which mm-hmm. we knew to begin with. How do you feel going into Maui?
Not too confident, but at the same time, I'm not like scared or anything. Cause yeah. I think they're playing with good chemistry for what they are right now. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of question marks still, and you don't really know how good Arizona is to kick it off. You don't know who they're going to be playing after the first game, whether they win or lose. So there's a lot
probably
of question
Gonzaga.
Marks. If they win,
probably Gonzaga. Yeah, yeah, probably Gonzaga.
And, I would expect to not win that game.
It would be interesting if they, played Illinois, we get the THT versus
That would be
Ayo Dosunmu or whatever his name is.
That's right. I haven't even followed Illinois. Have they done
well?
I have no idea.
But we can recap that whole situation if that arises next week. I don't know. I think at this point with the roster they have, it like don't even think about them winning. Just like if they go in and win some games, win two games or something,
yeah,
then you're like, man, it's went pretty well.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you gave me, you know, gun to my head kind of thing, I would say that they lose to Arizona, beat Illinois, and then I don't know who they'd play the third game at that point, but
probably they would probably play whoever like the winner of is on the other side.
I have the bracket here.
Cause the third, fourth place game would be whoever would be the presumed loser of
So I'm gonna say that obviously Auburn and Xavier is gonna be a good game, but I would think that Auburn would win that game.
Yeah, probably.
And obviously, I think Duke's going to win the whole tournament. So then the other team would probably be San Diego State or Auburn. Or San Diego State or Xavier, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
So
either one of those would be good. Xavier's not near as good as they were last year.
Yeah.
Obviously, JP Sleeves is gone.
Chris Mack's now
Chris
at Louisville.
Chris Mack's gone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. San Diego State's always a solid program.
Mm-hmm.
But... I think Iowa State very easily could win two games.
Yeah, I think my expectation is that they win at least one game. I would be happy to win two games, and of course, winning three games is out of this world amazing.
Right. If they won three games, Iowa State might all of a sudden jump up and be like a top 15 team.
They might be like a top 10 team.
Because
that would probably be wins over obviously
of December.
A win over Arizona, a win over Gonzaga, a win over Duke.
Yeah.
No, not many teams would have that good of a resume at this point in the season.
Iowa State would have a case to be the number one team in the nation.
They would. Yeah.
Which would be go from unranked to number one in the country.
without arguably three or four of their best players.
Yeah. I think we just...
This is the dreaming portion of
stuff. I was going to say, this is the dream portion. This probably isn't going to happen. if they're going to beat Duke, it's going to take like Zion Griff. Everybody eats like some bad Hawaiian pig and they all get food poisoning.
Fresh off the fire, they eat that pig.
Right. Duke's playing all of their walk-ons.
Yeah. And Iowa State wins by five.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's going to be
Zion
fun,
sitting on the sideline in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yep. Just with holding his gut.
Yeah. Trying not to poop his pants the whole game.
Yeah.
Baby. I do have a bone pick to pick with you. I saw what you put on the forums.
Oh yeah, yeah. One of the questions from the mailbag was how many points would I have to spot you in a game to 10?
Would I have to spot you?
Or well, yeah, would you have to spot me in a game of 1-on-1 basketball?
Assuming we were playing to 10.
And you said 10. Wow, that was super disrespectful. So I had to be equally as disrespectful in return.
I was thinking, I was like, should I put 9? 9.5?
You went full 10.
I'll just give him 10. Yeah, yep. Just give him 10. But then you put a power rankings of the CF staff, and it was like...
Number one was Rob.
Number one was Rob, which you said something about Rob's skyhook. I've seen Rob's skyhook. It's the only shot I think I've ever seen him attempt. And I don't know if I've ever seen him make one.
Nah, fake news.
Said Chris Williams would be a great all-around player.
Yep.
He has said on these very airwaves that he's just a spot-up shooter. Don't let him do anything else. He just can spot up and shoot.
He's just being humble.
I would say Kirk Holland should be number one.
Kirk's deceptively tall. He's not as tall as you, but he's taller than me, I believe. And like I said, he would use the numbers in his favor.
Yeah,
that is what I said.
I think Woody would be terrible. Like, I don't know.
Obviously, okay.
No offense to Jeff, but he just doesn't strike me as a guy who'd be good at basketball.
If he was a wrestler too in high school,
don't know. Maybe
we might have to ask him about that one. But yeah, being realistic, I think that maybe Woody would be below you in the rankings.
You might. I'm okay. Maybe I'd give you 8.
Okay, here's the thing. If we played right now, then yeah, I would need like a bunch of points.
Yeah.
Give me like a couple months to get back.
A couple
in shape.
Months to train. What? Yeah. We're just playing 1-on-1. Yeah, what do you got to get in shape for?
I haven't touched the basketball literally since the spring.
What do you got to get in shape for? We don't even run. Like you just, it's all half court.
Dude, like defense, man. I need to get that lateral quickness back. I don't have that right now. So
you're out there doing cone drills.
Yeah. That's what I need. I'll just be in the gym for 2 months doing cone drills. Nothing but cone drills. But also,
you gotta earn the ball.
I'll get like 500 shots up a day, and then I'll play you.
No, you gotta earn the ball. You gotta show you've got the effort on defense to get the basketball.
I'll shoot you some videos of me doing cone drills.
One of the best.
There you go.
Okay, in hindsight, one of the funniest things that ever happened to me in my college career was like a six. So like at the start of the season, we did 2-a-days. You know, practice in the morning and a practice at night after mm-hmm. class. And one of the mornings, we walked in and our coach made like a big theatrical thing out of he brought the thing of basketballs in, and then he like wheeled them back into the closet, and then he like put the hoops up and it was like he was making a point that we're not going to be using the basketballs and we're only going to be playing defense. And this was like at 5:30 or 6 in the morning. Everybody's just like, god damn it, can't we just practice?
Yeah.
Why are we doing this right now?
Yeah.
And it was one of those, you have to earn the basketballs to...
So did you end up earning the basketballs that morning, or was it you had to wait till the next practice?
Probably not. I don't know. Based on what our record was that year, I'll guess that we probably didn't earn the basketballs.
So was this off a game where you guys got your butts kicked?
No, this was like in the preseason. This is when we still thought we were going to be good.
Oh. So he was really trying to set the tone at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we played I think we played one of the teams that was like in the top, they were probably top 20 in the country, like in the first game of the season. We competed with them. I remember getting back to the hotel and being in our hotel room with one of our seniors. And he's like, man, I think we can be a top 25 team. I think we won 6 games the entire season. It was just.
So you needed a few more of those earn the ball.
Probably needed practices. A few more earn the ball practices. Probably needed a few more practices with the ball too. But
and this would have been when you had mono, right?
No, this would have been pre-mono.
Oh, was it? Okay.
It was during conference play when I got hit with the mono.
I got you.
Yeah.
So that, because that kind of practice would have been absolutely horrendous with mono, I'm sure.
Yeah, there was this one thing that we did for conditioning. It was called a Colgate, and it was just like a circuit of all these different things. It's where you have to do like bunny hops and like, you know, just going over the line like all the way around, and if you brought your feet like apart too far, like you had everybody to start over. You had to go all the way around, and then you had to run like 6 like
down back
the like sides of the court, so like back and forth. It's like, I don't know, they called them like UNLVs when I was in high school, but this was like part of something else. And then there was like push-ups and sit-ups and
so conditioning,
you know, up downs, like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And the reason that he called them Colgates was Colgate was what you would need after the drill got over and you had got done bending over the trash can.
That's good.
Yeah. I've got just like a lot of stories that from that year that make you just go, wow, that was a real thing.
Yeah.
They were all real things.
That's college athletics for you, I guess.
College athletics on a highly dysfunctional, incredibly bad basketball team, I guess. But all right, we'll be right back on Stains and Fits, presented by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University.
Hello, Fanatics. This is Chris Williams. There are few financial commitments you will make in your life that are more important than where to get your mortgage from. That's why I want to tell you about my friend Jason Larson at Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny. Here's a real review from a client on Facebook. Jason was amazing to work with. He kept in contact with us where we were at throughout the whole process. When we went to sign, he had coffee and donuts for us that morning. He was super kind and helpful, and we said we would refer him to anyone looking to buy a home. Now that's just one review. Jason Larson, Gershman Mortgage in Ankeny, is an equal housing lender. Their NMLS number is 138063. Give him a call at 515-554-6177. Please tell him that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatics sent you. Hey guys, it's Williams here. On the podcast, on our radio shows, we talk a lot about point spreads, you know, all that stuff. To be honest, I'm not a big bettor, but I'm really just fascinated by that industry. And I want to recommend a service to you guys today if you're interested in that sort of thing. MyBookie.ag is the website. If you join right now, and if you give them our promo code, they will match your deposit dollar for dollar. This is a really good deal. Our promo code is 2427. Again, that promo code is 2427. They have live in-game, live betting. They're in the business for you fantasy guys out there. You can bet over-under on fantasy points for players. There's all sorts of really cool things. MyBookie.ag. Again, that promo code is 2427. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.ag. Hey, guys, it's Chris Williams. We're in the heart of football season now, and I got to tell you, I feel a lot better than I did a year ago, and I owe a lot of that to Dr. Kruger at the Ames Eye Clinic. Also, their Des Moines location is, they're called Des Moines Eye Care in Des Moines. Same guys, really great eye doctors. I never thought that I had eye problems. I don't really have problems seeing or anything like that, but I was suffering from chronic headaches. I mean, it was nonstop. I always had a headache, and I think a lot of it was because I stared at a screen all day. Dr. Kruger took a look at my eyes, took him about a half hour, and he knew exactly what was wrong. Prescribed me some glasses that now I use while I'm on my computer, while I'm working for you guys at Cyclone Fanatic all day. And man, has it made a difference. I'm even sleeping better. I challenge you, if you have a problem like this, any sort of eye problem, to contact our friends at Des Moines Eye Care and the Ames Eye Clinic. You can check out DesMoinesEyeCare.com. or AmesEyeClinic.com. I would encourage you to do this and tell them that we sent you. Tell them thank you for supporting what we're doing here at Cyclone Fanatic.
Time for Hot Knot here on Stands and Fits. All right. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first since yours is kind of going to be sandwiched.
All right. Yeah, go first.
All right. So my hot this week, NFL skins in Fortnite, just because it leads to things like Patrick Mahomes tweeting, "Yesterday I played Fortnite for the first time in a while, and someone killed me with my jersey on. Don't know how I feel about it." So that, I think that's kind of funny. I haven't played Fortnite for a while. I was into it when it got really hot. But
yeah,
the fact that all these NFL players can like play with themselves now is interesting. And it kind of made me think, this is like the first time with like Patrick Mahomes, like the players that are his age, this is like the first time ever that they've probably grown up playing video games. So like professional athletes now are the first like generation of athletes that have grown up playing video
games. I know like Ben Simmons and Carl Towns for a while, they did like Fortnite streams.
Exactly.
Where people would watch them.
Yeah.
There was another tweet that I saw where it was it was like super problematic stuff like to come out of Fortnite. Where it was like Colin Kaepernick taking a knee.
I saw one.
There was one that was Aaron Hernandez with a gun.
Yeah. 81 jersey.
Yeah. There was Mike Vick with a dog like on his back. And it was just, there was one other one I think that was messed up. I mean, it was just like all of them you looked at and you're like, oh my God, this is real bad.
Yeah, real bad. But the other cool thing,
but you can't stop anybody from doing it.
No,
you know.
And the other cool thing I saw was someone had bought Alan Lazard's number 19 for the Jags, which is kind of cool. And I think he tweeted at him. So,
yeah, I don't know. I don't play Fortnite.
I don't anymore. I used to.
Yeah, you've moved on to playing Red Dead for how many hours of Red Dead have you played now?
Again, I played a lot that first day I took off to play, but I've played on and off since then. I probably put in like a good solid 20 hours in total.
In 2 weeks?
Has it really been 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Seems like longer.
Hasn't it?
I think so. But again, I probably got...
Because that was the first time we talked about it was last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All these days, all the podcasts running together. But
again, I literally played like 10 hours that first day. So the rest since then hasn't been that
bad. Has there been anything cool that's happened on the game?
So the camp, like where you're located, it moves. And I just got to the chapter where you move for the first time. So that's if anyone else plays, that's like that's where I'm at. You know where I am now.
Okay. No spoilers.
I've done a lot of lollygagging, just random stuff. Since this is an open world, obviously.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. All right. My hot this week is the Philadelphia 76ers. Their NBA title odds jumped from 30-1 to 16-1.
That's really good increase in odds.
It is a good increase in odds.
So who's your not this week?
The Philadelphia 76ers. They have acquired the biggest douchebag in the history of the National Basketball Association. And I'm really grappling with it. Anybody who has seen me on Twitter, anytime that he's mentioned by the Sixers or anybody talking about the Sixers, and I don't even want to say his name.
Yeah, dude.
I don't want to say his name.
It's so funny because I don't think you got too involved when he was like going through all the drama with the T-Wolves.
That was right when we did our NBA preview podcast with Bloom and Hurst. We talked about that for a long time. Yeah.
Did he do a lot of trashing of him? And then now it's kind of like coming back to bite you in the butt.
Yeah, yeah. I've said a lot of things about Jimmy Butler.
And now you're forced to root for him.
Nope.
You kind of are.
I'm still holding out hope that maybe he'll just like fail his physical and they'll have to send him back. And the Sixers and the Timberwolves will have to send back Sarge and Covington.
So throwing out all the off-court stuff, strictly from a basketball standpoint, what do you think of this trade? Like,
I can't throw all the things out. That's the only problem.
But okay, at least attempt. Like, strictly from a basketball standpoint.
I mean, I guess it. You know, Covington was a good defender. Jimmy is just as good or better of a defender. He's been an All NBA guy or an All Defense guy for at least once, or probably even a couple times. One of the best defenders in the league. He's obviously a lot better offensively than what Covington was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was probably it's a solid trade. I don't know how and that's the thing. Like as a like from the basketball side of things, I think that it's a fine trade. A year ago, I probably would have been all down for it.
Yeah.
You know, I would have been like, "Hey, awesome." Like now the Sixers have their big three. But there's a lot more to basketball than just the basketball. And now we've got Joel and his personality. We've got Jimmy Butler and everything that he just did in Minnesota to get himself run out of town. Basically got in a fight with Karl Anthony Towns in his last day in Minnesota. I can't look past all those things. I'm worried about – I don't want him to come in and do the same thing to my beloved Sixers.
Yeah. So then what are your thoughts on Dario Saric then?
I mean, it's fine.
Not much.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to make that big of a difference.
So you consider Covington to be the bigger piece in that end of the deal?
No, I mean, because I think Saric is a good player. I like Saric. But Covington was the guy that, to me, last year was like their weakest link. That team should have made the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
They had every opportunity to win multiple of those games that they played against the Celtics in that series.
Yep.
And that was that one guy that killed them. So you get rid of him. I was saying I said all offseason that I thought they needed to get rid of Covington. So I was cool with that. Mm. And Saric, I think, is just like you were going to have to move him regardless of what happened, just because that was your best piece, like best movable piece.
Yep.
So I had resigned myself to that probably happening as well. But I'm still pissed about the fact that it had to happen for Jimmy Butler, because I don't want Jimmy Butler on my team. I don't want to support Jimmy Butler.
From what the Sixers gave up, what would you, okay, if you got to choose anyone else in the NBA, roughly equivalent value to Jimmy Butler that isn't Jimmy Butler, do you have anyone like that you would have preferred them to trade for?
I mean, I would have liked to have gotten Kawhi, but I don't know. That wouldn't have probably been similar. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have worked out the right way. They probably would have had to give up a number one pick, you know? And, I mean, I would have been fine with that, honestly. But I don't know. Honestly, I would have rather just seen them just, like, roll through this year with the same group that they had and not do anything. Or, I mean, except for make smaller moves, then Cohen make this big splash move to get a guy that didn't seem like really anybody wanted.
Yeah. So how soon do you think that Butler and Joel Embiid will get into it? Like how much longer do you think we'll have to wait?
The one good thing is that the stuff that made Jimmy Butler mad about the people in Minnesota was that they didn't, they didn't seem to want to win.
Mm.
I think that Joel Embiid has made it quite clear that he very much wants to win.
Yeah.
And so I honestly feel like their personalities might mesh pretty well, but I got to see it, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that the first time Jimmy Butler comes in and does something good, I'm going to convince myself, you know what?
It was all worth it.
This is all going to work out.
Yeah.
But right now, of what I know about Jimmy Butler from his time in Minnesota, what I know about him from his time in Chicago, I'm not happy about this. I don't see this going any way but negatively. And the fact that he was, and I'm still pissed about, I still don't understand something with him where he said that he just wants to win. And then the three teams that he said he wanted to go to were all freaking terrible.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, he wanted money.
And he just wants his money. And like, that's where I'm at. I'm like, okay, dude, like if you want to win, get traded to the Lakers or something. Like get traded to a good team, which now he's gotten traded to a good team. If he really wanted to win, we're going to find out, you know? And if he really wanted to win, he'll re-sign with the Sixers.
Yep.
But if he doesn't really want to win, he's just going to go get his money like he was going to go do anyway.
Yeah. So then with Butler, do you think that the Sixers have a realistic shot at winning it all this year? Or do you think that they still need a piece or two?
Well, I still don't think anybody's going to be Golden State.
Yeah.
But I think they have a much more realistic shot at winning the East than they did last week.
Yep.
I mean, the Celtics haven't done anything so far this year that makes you feel confident that they're going to be as good as everybody thought.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens hasn't been able to put that team together the way everybody's expecting them to. Right now, it looks like Milwaukee is probably the best team in the East. Mm-hmm. I still think the Sixers can beat them.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I think the Sixers have... I mean, Toronto is obviously a good team with Kawhi and Kyle Lowry. And like I said, I feel a lot better about the Sixers than I did a week ago about their chances of making a run like that. But I got to see it. I got to see how everything works off the court before I'm going to, you know...
Yeah.
Before I'm going to buy in. Can't buy in yet. I'm still full on the they got to send him back train right now.
Yeah. Well, patience heals.
I guess so. All right. What's your knot?
All right. My knot this week is Stan Lee passed away at 95. So obviously that's a big bummer for a lot of people just because he's the creator of many comics at Marvel like Spider-Man, Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, X-Men, and a ton of others. So basically his imagination, like if you think about what he did and what Marvel has blown up into like nowadays with all the movies and, you know, countless comics and all that stuff, it's amazing to think about how many imaginations his imagination has like touched in a way.
Yeah.
There's so many creative forces in the world that have probably drawn from what things that Stan Lee did. And, you know, he was funny all the way up until the way the day he died, just, you know, showing up in all these cameos and stuff in these movies nowadays. And it's going to be interesting because he supposedly filmed a bunch of the cameos ahead of time. Cause then, you know, obviously when you get the 90s, you know, you're going to not have much time left. So he'll be seeing himself. Well, we'll be seeing him in movies going forward, which will be interesting.
I've never gotten big into those movies. So it's,
I know,
you know, I respect everything that he did.
Yeah.
And I know that he meant a lot to people. So did you see Mike Francesa's reaction to his...
No.
Someone called in and asked if he had like ever met him.
Yeah.
I mean, Francesa, we all know how... Most people, I think, know how things go with Mike Francesa. But he's like, who?
Oh, dear.
Stan who? And somebody's like, the creator of the Marvel movies? He's like, no. He's like, I don't care. I mean, obviously, I'm sad. I'm sorry that he died. He's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I don't care about comic books. He's like, all right, next caller.
Wow.
It was like, whoa, damn. Okay. But you're kind of you're asking for that when you're calling into Francesa, like to ask him about Stan Lee.
If he's, you know, known for being that way, you kind of got to expect it. You know?
He did not even know who Dino Babers was.
Oh, really?
The coach at Syracuse. And he's a, New York City radio host. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, okay.
That says a lot.
Probably shouldn't ask him about Stan Lee.
Yeah.
But it does. It blows my mind how someone who's done that job for as long as they have can continuously just be so ignorant about people that are famous.
Yeah. You know, especially someone like Babers, who's literally in his backyard.
Right.
Too.
Yeah.
So
Mike Francesa. What a guy.
Yeah.
All right. Underrated underdogs. I was so close.
You were.
I went with the bold prediction. I was so freaking close, dude.
You were. And credit to you. You did go with another bold prediction. And we almost both won.
That would have been the first ever, wouldn't it?
I think probably.
Yeah. Yeah, we're tied now.
Yep.
I think two and eight
on the year.
I've lost what, like six in a row after my good start?
Because I'm pretty sure you started 2-2 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hasn't been going very well ever since. I've been getting so close. Like, I think every one that I've picked, it's like the team has covered, but they never win.
And that's the thing. I think you've had a couple.
Except for LSU. That was the only one that I went deep on that.
You've
one.
Had a couple where your team was leading late too, and then they just lost it. At the very end.
Nebraska, Northwestern. Mm-hmm. That one was another one where it was like it just barely missed.
The universe conspired against you.
I thought Kansas was going to win that game. The Vampire's blood magic and Peyton freaking Bender, man. That's like, what was I doing? Like, we're relying on one, Peyton Bender, and two, Kansas being able to break Bill Snyder's spell.
Kansas has looked better lately, though. I don't really blame you for putting your trust in them, even though it was still out on a limb a little bit.
And I think Kansas State really stinks. Like, I'm just going to be honest. I think that that's a really bad football team.
Yeah. They're not in a good state of mind right now either.
Absolutely not. That team is real, real bad. Mm-hmm. All right. Who's yours this week?
Well, who's your pick this week? Did you say who your pick was?
No, I didn't. Do you want me to go?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I'm taking Nebraska. What is it? +2.5? Yeah, Nebraska +2.5 at home, senior day at Memorial Stadium against Michigan State. Mm. Michigan State's got a lot of questions at the quarterback position. Defense is good, but Nebraska's offense has been humming as of late. You know, put up 54 on Illinois the other night, which Illinois obviously isn't anything special, but that offense has looked really good as of late.
Yeah.
I'm going to roll with the Huskers on senior day. I think they've got a lot to play for to send those seniors out the right way.
That's a good pick. And this was one of the games where I considered picking too.
I might even pick them next week.
There you go. That would be a good one.
Actually, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I want to.
Maybe Nebraska will be favored if they win big this week. You never know.
On the road at...
Yep.
In Kinnick Stadium?
Yep.
I'm not going to bank on that one.
All right. My pick this week, well, obviously last week, Cal beat USC by 1 point, which gives me the win.
Cal by 1 point.
Yep. It counts.
I saw that USC and UCLA have like a combined 13 losses, and it's the most ever in the series in the 90 years they've been playing each other. That's the most ever combined losses the two teams have ever had when they played each other.
Wow. I was actually considering picking UCLA as well, but they're both trash.
That's a bold. That'd be a bold pick because UCLA has consistently gotten their asses kicked.
Yeah, that's the thing. All right, so I'm going with one that might be a little bit tough to see happening, but I'm going with Oklahoma State +4.5 points over West Virginia. I'm kind of thinking that West Virginia might be looking ahead to next week's matchup against Oklahoma.
Is that a 2:30 game?
I don't know.
I think it might be.
But anyways, I think they're looking ahead, and I think Oklahoma State, they're going to be playing for bowl eligibility at this point still. They're at 5 wins, so I think that they're going to come out and play well.
And it's in Stillwater.
Yep. So I think...
I could see that.
They pull the upset there a little bit. West Virginia all of a sudden doesn't control their own destiny to get in the Big 12 championship again, so that'll be interesting.
I'm thinking now... Okay, so Iowa State wins this weekend. Think how great of a weekend it would be for me if... Next week, if Nebraska beat Iowa on Black Friday,
yeah,
Oklahoma beat West Virginia, and then Iowa State beat Kansas State, that weekend there's no way that all three of those things could happen. So for
Jared Stansbury, that would be your personal best sports weekend in a long time, probably.
Yeah, because even on Saturday, like both my teams won. That very, very rarely ever happens, and if it does happen, then it's because one of them was playing someone really freaking atrocious, like Bethune-Cookman. And then the Sixers traded for Jimmy Butler. So like there was something that was going to have to level it all back out, you know? And I know there's no way that all three of those things are going to happen. So one of them, we need Oklahoma State to win this week so that then one of them becomes kind of just a moot point. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I do have to say that we had listeners call us out. I think we got it wrong last week that
On Black Friday.
Yeah, Oklahoma and West Virginia play on Black Friday. So Iowa State will know what it has to do. Obviously, they want to win no matter what, but they'll know their status for the Big 12 championship game by that point.
Going into the...
the matchup with the Vampire.
7 o'clock at night.
Night game, dude.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's going to be terrifying.
Yeah.
But got to beat Texas first.
If everybody in the stadium doesn't have a garlic necklace on... then there's been a gross misstep by Cyclone Nation.
It was interesting, too, because they held a press conference today. And didn't you, like, see it was supposed to be different because there wasn't any, like, player availability or anything like that?
Yeah, I did see that. I thought that he was going to announce his retirement.
But then nothing really happened of importance.
But then he didn't.
Yep.
Unfortunately. No, he... dude's going to do everything he can to just...
make sure it's handed over to his son.
To try and not have to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got to do it, though. There's no way that he can't retire at this point. All right, pick a number between... oh, wait. These aren't numbered. Oh,
man. I was looking forward to it because you always need to pick numbers.
All right, I need to...
need a better site?
Yeah, I need to find a bit different site.
All right.
I won't do a not safe for word work one. Tough and fun. 250 would you rather questions.
This might be a site that I use, so... I won't pick 69.
All right. One and 250.
We'll go with 123. 123.
123. 123 is, would you rather spend a week in the woods or one night in a real haunted house?
A week in the woods or one night in a real haunted house? Well, that would make it... okay, so a real haunted house, that's up to interpretation, because if you say it's haunted, maybe I don't believe in stuff being haunted.
Okay, so I'm thinking if it's a real haunted house, it's the kind of place where something is going to happen that makes you believe that this place is legit haunted.
I still think I think I'd pick that over 1 week in the woods. Because when I think 1 week in the woods, I think I'm thrown in there. I don't have any like tent. I don't have any shelter. I'd have to make everything myself. Hunt for meat, you know, full on survival mode. But if it was just one night,
I mean, you could
house,
watch. You could just watch the Office episode. What's that one called?
Oh, the one with Michael Scott's like,
yeah,
eating
when
the
he
poisonous
goes tries to go out and eat the poisonous mushrooms. Yeah, he's cutting his like the pants off and like making them into a bandana.
Yeah, that's a good episode. So yeah, it was either 1 week on my own doing everything survival mode, or one night where I wouldn't even have to eat any food. I could just literally stay the night.
Yeah.
Even if something creepy happens, meh, I'll be out of it in the morning. I'm not scared. I ain't scared.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
What if there's like a chance that you would die?
So...
like something could happen that you would die. You have to like survive that.
So it's like, okay, so it would be different if it was one night in a house where I'm going to be like hunted. Like where there's like a serial killer... say it's a mansion, there's a serial killer somewhere in the mansion.
Or some sort of, you know, a ghost or something that can like, that, like something that can drive you insane enough to kill yourself, basically.
See, that changes things, because if I know that I'm actually going to be in danger, then of course I'd go with being in the woods.
I would imagine if it's supposed to be like a real haunted house, you're probably in danger on some level.
But when I say, when
that's why it says real haunted house. It's not just like a theoretical haunted house.
Okay, but then say like I'm being haunted by bounty hunters or something. If it's a haunted house and I think, oh, probably someone has died there in the past in an unpleasant way, their ghost is supposed to be haunting.
And they don't want you there. You're disrupting them.
See, I don't think that... I don't believe in ghosts. I do think
we need
that...
to get Chris Williams here.
I do think that demons are a thing.
Okay.
Like the spiritual realm.
So wait, so you do believe in ghosts?
No, because demons and ghosts aren't the same thing.
Okay, it's a conversation for a different day.
It is. But...
actually, no, let's do it. How are they not the same?
Because ghosts, I think, are inherently peaceful. Like, okay, so say someone's killed. Because that's like, in like, okay, their ghost stays.
Yeah.
I think is what a lot of people think happens with ghosts. Their soul is supposedly not at peace.
That doesn't mean that they don't... they don't want you in their house.
But no.
They're going to do everything they can to drive you out of their house.
Just because you're not at peace doesn't mean that you're going to try to be violent as a ghost. Demons are creatures that are inherently evil and that they want to cause you harm. So that's the difference for me between a ghost and a demon.
So, okay, so what if these ghosts just start, they start talking to you and they get in your head, you know? And it's not really, okay, so maybe the house isn't even really haunted. There's nothing there besides these ghosts that are there and they get inside your head and they get you thinking crazy stuff. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh no. You don't even know what's happening. It's just all subconscious. And then when the sun comes up, all of a sudden you come back to, and it's like, am I alive or am I dead? And I made it through the ghosts. That's all. I outwilled the ghosts.
There's a lot of stuff that would have to happen that I don't see happen in that scenario. So I'm still going with the haunted house. I'm not scared.
I'm just gonna say I feel like you'd regret that.
No, I would stay a night in the.
If there's ever a time we needed Chris Williams on Stands and Fits, this is it.
I would stay a night in the axe murderer house.
No, you would not.
Yes,
no,
I would.
Don't 100%. Say that.
100%
no.
Would.
You wouldn't, dude.
Not
you would
scared.
Piss your pants so quick.
I guarantee it. I guarantee I would not.
You don't know what Villisca, Iowa is like. If you were in that house and you knew what had happened there, you would be terrified.
I know
on
what
my
happened
life,
there.
Bro.
The axe murderers.
On
I know
my
what happened
life.
There.
You would be like,
I
no.
I would not.
It'd take an hour.
No.
Hour of darkness with no power, nothing.
Dude,
you're like,
I would not be scared.
You'd be sitting in there with your little candle and you'd just be like, oh my God.
I would
God.
Be sitting in there. I'd just be in my sleeping bag. I'd be like, wow, this is really dark. It's kind of nice and peaceful. And I go to sleep. I wake up 8 hours later. I'm out of there. That's it.
I don't think so.
I think so.
You'd hear one noise and you'd be like.
I'd be like, wow, that's the wind. Wow, that's a squirrel. Wow, that's an acorn falling off the tree outside.
We're going to have to find this out. This might be a challenge that has to go down.
It, okay, like honestly, I would 100% do it. If you find a challenge where this is possible, I will do it.
Mm-mm. I ain't doing that, dude.
You don't have to. I'll do it. I'll prove my point.
That's what we need is we need to do like, it needs to just be like you, me, and C-Dub, like, or like the whole CF staff, we go stay in a haunted house and like we've got to get GoPro set up and just see like how all of us react to it.
You guys would turn that into a big event. Any like what you just tried to describe, any like creak in the floor, like you'd be like, ghost, immediately. And I'd be like, nah, that's just an old house.
Dude, I'd be tripping. I couldn't do it, dude. I don't mess with that kind of stuff.
That stuff.
I'm even in my
me.
Own apartment and I hear a noise and I'm like, what was that?
Nah, see, I just think, nah, that's just life. That's just stuff going on. Normal stuff.
All right, sit. Pick another number.
That was a good number. Let's go with 202.
202. Would you rather know how to play every instrument or know how to spell every word?
Know how to play every instrument.
Yeah, you would make way more money knowing how to play every instrument 100%. Than you would knowing how to spell every word.
Yeah, you could go on tour and be insanely talented.
Yeah, that's a stupid one. All right, what's another one?
All right,
we're going to do two more because that one was dumb.
Let's go 198. Keep it real close.
Oh my God, this one's kind of messed up. Would you rather be buried alive or cremated alive?
Oh, man. Ugh. Oh, that's so bad.
The one thing, if you're buried alive, you're probably gonna be there for a while.
Yeah, you're gonna be there for a while, and you're gonna be suffering.
Yeah,
for a while.
You're gonna like it's gonna get to the point where eventually you just have to suffocate or you like starve.
Yeah.
Those are the only ways that you're gonna die.
Yeah, okay,
if you're cremated alive, that furnace is hot.
Yeah,
like that thing would—you'd be dead quick.
That's the nice thing, and the logic you just used is what I would say that I would rather be cremated alive. I think just because
there might be a split second where you like are aware of the fact what's happening, but if you're buried alive, you're gonna know that you're dead. Like you're gonna know you are going to be dead for quite some time.
And I feel like being buried alive would be much worse if I was claustrophobic, but I am not. Like I'm not scared of being in a small space, but
It's the idea of being there for however long you have to be there.
Being there for a long time and then knowing that like there's no way. Like I just have to sit here until I'm dead. I run out of oxygen.
Yeah.
That's such a terrible way to go.
Yeah.
So I would go with burned alive.
Okay. Yeah, I would definitely do with the cremated alive too. Because I know that if you're gonna have to die in one of those ways, it's just like I'd rather do whatever's gonna be the quickest.
Whatever's faster.
Yeah. All right. Say one more.
All right, one more. Let's go with 133.
This is a good list. No, say a different one.
All right, 135.
I'll read this to you, but
okay, read it.
Would you rather live in a very roomy cave or in a one bedroom apartment for the rest of your life? Would you rather only be able to speak on Wednesdays or only be able to speak in Pig Latin?
Oh my!
We got a wide range of these things.
Yeah, we do.
I'm gonna save this list. This is a good list.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I would rather only speak on Wednesdays, I think.
Okay.
I hate the idea of Pig Latin, and I don't know how to speak it. It just bothers me. So I don't want to feed into the Pig Latin at all.
Man, I think we could like fly through this list because this is a good one.
And I think even though I can't speak on the other days of the week, I could still type. I could still, you know, communicate in other ways. So I could get around that way, you know?
Yeah. I'm just seeing this one, so I'm going to read it to you right now. Would you rather eat a cup of lawn clippings or a cup of dirt?
Cup of lawn clippings, obviously. Oh, boy.
Yeah, that one's good. I need to figure out a way to like note the ones that we've already done. But
bookmark that one for sure.
I did. All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Find a haunted house for me to stay the night in sometime.
I'm going to. We're going to make this happen because I know you are not near as tough as what you're trying to make it out to be.
I am not scared at all. I am 100% saying that, 100% honest.
I'm just saying that when we send you there, your family, you're going to have to sign some sort of waiver because when you go crazy and inevitably something bad happens and you have to spend the rest of your life in a mental institution, it can't be coming back on Cyclone Fanatic.
What would happen is you would send me there and then you'd probably like show up and try to mess with me in the middle of the night just so I would start freaking out.
I'm not messing with those ghosts, bro.
Oh, yeah?
No. That ain't me.
Uh-uh. Well, nothing.
If you want to go and disturb the ghosts, man, that's all you. That ain't on me.
If you're not gonna mess with me, then it's gonna be a real peaceful night there in the Axe House.
If you want to go and disturb the ghosts, that's your prerogative. Right. I don't want nothing to do with it.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks to the professional MBA program, the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University. Talk to you guys again next week. Remember about the watch party, Whiskey River, Saturday night. Get there during the 2:30 games if you want to get a table. Come on, hang out. It's gonna be a fun night. Beat the Longhorns.